This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
For markets, a drama-free trade deal is a good trade deal. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The Phase 1 trade deal between the U.S. and China appeared fragile there for a bit. Tensions have flared, and China hasn't bought as much from the U.S. as it was obligated to. But U.S. and Chinese trade officials spoke on the phone last night and said the deal is alive and well. David Kelly is Chief Global Strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, do you think the announcement regarding U.S.-China trade relations is actually moving markets?
I think it's contributing to it, but I think also global markets are to some extent catching up with the U.S. The U.S. has had a really extraordinarily good first 8 months of the year, given everything that's happened this year in the stock market. I think global stock markets are each catching up a little bit here.
The announced commitment to a U.S.-China trade deal, I mean, does that provide actual economic benefit, or is it just a reassurance that things aren't going to blow up?
I think it is reassuring because we've seen in recent years rising tensions with China across a number of issues, including trade. And of course, trade is one that really hurts business. But I think this phone call last night between the U.S. and China was delayed by 2 weeks. But still, it does suggest that there is continued commitment to the Phase 1 trade deal. And over the next few months, whatever else we see in terms of conflict between the United States and China, we still do seem to be more or less on track with regard to trade negotiations.
David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds. Thanks so much.
Anytime.
Delta Airlines says it plans to furlough almost 2,000 pilots in October. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst has more.
Around 1,800 pilots have signed up for early retirement, most expected to leave on September 1st. But Delta has said that won't be enough to avoid the furlough of nearly 2,000 pilots, mostly newer ones. Delta has over 11,000 pilots, according to the company. The pandemic has dealt a serious blow to the travel industry. Back in May, airlines had to cut as much as 90% of their flights, and the company says that they have recovered only 25% of revenue. Air travel has resumed, but social distancing means Delta is not booking at full capacity. The federal bailout known as the CARES Act gave airlines billions of dollars in grant funds and unsecured loans and prohibits employee layoffs, furloughs, or pay cuts. That assistance expires at the end of September, and talks to renew are stalled. In a statement, Chairman Ryan Schnitzler from the Airline Pilots Association sounded doubtful as to whether every step was taken to save jobs. He said, quote, "Every other carrier has embraced voluntary measures and have worked hard to prevent the very furloughs that Delta announced today." I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Research published today in the Economic Journal suggests differences in the way men and women network may play a role in workplace gender gaps in pay, for example. Anya Prummer is an economist at Queen Mary University of London. She's co-author of that research and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, how do men and women network differently?
So what we find in our study is that men tend to have larger networks, meaning they connect with more people, whereas women tend to connect with fewer people, but their peers and relationships are themselves connected. And we refer to this as a more clustered, tighter network for women and a looser, sparser network for men.
How does that difference in networking translate into differences we see in the workplace?
So what we show is that each of these networks comes with different types of advantages. So women's networks have the advantage of generating a lot of trust and a lot of peer pressure. Because if you are at work and you have a project failure with one of your teammates, then not only your teammate and you are affected by it, but also the people who are connected with both of you. You might not get along as much after failure. You might be disappointed. And what this means is that in order to avoid this, women work incredibly hard on all kinds of projects. Men, on the other hand, they have these sparser networks and they give them access to information. And so men learn much more whether a project is a high-risk, high-reward project, and therefore tailor their efforts much more appropriately to the project at hand.
I would love to hear an example of how this would work out in the real world. Can you give an example?
So what we know is that the gender wage gap is increasing the more uncertain the task is. So in law, the gender wage gap is significantly larger than in nursing. And so in environments such as among lawyers where it's not clear a priori which case is the case you should work on, men's networks generate an advantage for them while women's networks are detrimental. On the other hand, if you think about nursing, this is a task where you just need to do your job. It doesn't matter whether one type of task has a higher reward in some sense. And there, it is much better to have these tighter networks, which just induce you to work hard. Whereas in the law environment, it is much more important to understand where to allocate your effort.
Anya Prummer is an economist at Queen Mary University of London. She's co-author with Yale's Ilse Lindenlaub of the new paper out in the Economic Journal titled Network Structures and Performance. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.